Psalm 43. And we've been using the Psalms over the past couple of months to help us learn how to be renewed and to be renewed in the gospel when we're in different kind of negative places in life. The Psalms have a wonderful way of giving us direction on how to be renewed in some of those ways that we struggle and suffer. And we're almost at a close in this Psalm series, but we're looking at Psalm 43 together this afternoon. And can we all stand as we read, as we hear God's Word? I'll be reading it. Psalm 43. I'll be reading it in its entirety, and this is the Word of God. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me. For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Let's pray. God, we cry out with the psalmist that you would send out your light and your truth to us. Let them lead us to you this day, because Lord, there are some of us who are struggling just like this psalmist. So through your word and in our time, send out your light and your truth. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. A recent article from a local paper said that across Southern California and nationwide, unprecedented numbers of college students are seeking counseling for mental and emotional difficulties. One dean at USC said this: there's a full-blown mental health crisis. The numbers are really troubling. They're huge. The avalanche of distress is swamping mental health resources offered at colleges and universities in Southern California. There's a lot of people struggling. Here, they're talking about college students, but I'm sure this is a reflection of our larger culture. Many of you may know that mental health is this trending topic these days. It's a hot topic. And there's this growing awareness that a lot of people are not doing well. And even as we grow in unprecedented comfort and pleasures, we're also growing in despair and depression. And I don't think we need statistics or surveys to get that. I mean, we see that among friends and peers. Some of us, we see that in our children. And I would imagine many of us, we see it in ourselves. And the thing about depression is that it doesn't discriminate, and that it touches the young and the old, the rich and the poor, the educated, the uneducated, and even unbelievers and believers. Coming to Christ doesn't exempt you from suffering from depression. And some of you may know this well. And the psalmist here today is dealing with depression, and he is fighting to get out of it. He is fighting to get out of it. And we find here the pathway out of depression. But if I can emphasize the word pathway, getting out of depression isn't so easy. Sometimes it's a long, painstaking process. So don't look at this psalm as some kind of formula that will snap you out of the darkness in an instant. It may do that, but it may not. But if we can see it as the light at the end of the tunnel that helps us move forward and to move in the right direction. On a side note, Psalm 43 is actually part of Psalm 42. It's in some sense one piece. And so even as I preach here on Psalm 43, we'll be interacting with Psalm 42 a little bit. The psalmist seems like he's suffering from depression. Definitely the signs are there, aren't they? He's cast down. His soul is cast down. If I could translate another way, he's in despair. He's discouraged. Why does he say, send your light, God? It's because life feels very dark. He says, why have you rejected me? There's a loneliness that he's feeling. And depression often has this isolating kind of feeling. And that he's mourning. There's deep sadness that he's dealing with. And even if you go into chapter 42, verse 3, it's striking what he says. He says, my tears have been my food day and night. Just being in utter tears. That is his condition. And he talks about being oppressed. There's a heaviness to his life. Maybe as I've just been going down that list, maybe it describes you a little bit, some of the things that you're dealing with. Because depression is internal, it's a matter of the soul, it's a condition that we can easily hide, and perhaps dangerously hide. Some of the seemingly happiest people are the most depressed people. Some of those who seem like they have it all together, they're the very ones who are depressed. Maybe you are one of the ones who can hide it well. People would never know that you suffer from depression. The reality is that often there are silent sufferers in the church. And knowing that, brothers and sisters, let's not assume that everyone is doing as well as it appears on Sunday or on social media. Let's take that extra time, the extra effort to know each other, to spend time together, to share with one another. For the psalmist here, it's actually a certain life situation that is triggering his depression. He is oppressed by these cruel enemies, and so it's that which launches him into a depression. And this is true, that certain life situations can throw us into depression. It may be certain people in your life are pushing you to the breaking point. Sometimes it's a depressing situation that is making you depressed. That things aren't going according to plan. That you've experienced maybe some kind of failure, that prayers are going unanswered. And there are seasons of life that can also spark depression. Prolonged singleness, prolonged joblessness, trying to have a child, on the flip side of that, postpartum depression, midlife crisis, losing loved ones. There are all kinds of different, well, I should say there's plenty of life situations that can throw us into depression, that can cast down our soul. And there's also the self-inflicted kind of depression that is the result of our sin and our idolatry. Sin just makes life heavier. It makes life darker. And for some of you, your depression may simply be that thorn or that cross in your life. And what I mean by that is, boy, you're just wired in that direction to be depressed. That depression comes quicker, goes deeper, stays longer than other people. And that's something you've been dealing with for all your life. And so instead of these outside life situations triggering depression, sometimes it comes from within you. Christians can most definitely suffer from depression, and that's the reality. That those who make God their refuge can struggle with depression. That's what the psalmist is dealing with. Does that seem like a contradiction? Does that seem inconsistent? You know, even the psalmist is struggling with this. God, you are my refuge. This is my situation and this is how I feel. Now, depression, it doesn't just hit weaker Christians, but even the best Christians. Think about King David. He wrote many of the Psalms, not this one in particular, but he wrote many of them. And so many of them are laments. So many of them actually deal with some kind of depression. Now, we got to move past this and ask, what do we do with our depression? Well, in our day and age, it's like, well, you Google it. You Google what the signs and symptoms are and what the solutions are. You start there, right? Well, let's go to God's Word. What does the psalmist do? Well, big picture, the psalmist is seeking God, and he's praying to him. And even if you go to chapter 42, as the deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God. He is seeking and pursuing God. And he doesn't wait till all the other remedies that he's tried, until all those things are exhausted and then coming to God. No, he brings his despair to God. And he turns his desperation into a door to pray to God and to seek him. We need to turn our desperation into these doors to God and to pray to him. And as he's praying, we find that it's a messy, honest prayer, isn't it? And we've seen that as we've been going through the Psalms, that a lot of these prayers, there's this messy honesty to them, isn't there? He brings his why questions to God. Verse 2, why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning? And these are some of the same why questions that he's already been asking in chapter 42. And perhaps that's an indication that the psalmist here, he's dealing with a long season of depression. In our neat, clean theology, we often don't allow for this kind of talk or this kind of praying where you question God. We think that to question God is to not believe him. But perhaps there exists a kind of questioning of God that actually comes from faith. You see, the psalmist, he sees that God, and he totally believes that God is his refuge. And that's precisely because he believes it, that's why he's asking the why question. And that's why he's struggling in his situation, because life doesn't seem to be matching up with who God is. And I think there's a place for us to pray that kind of way, to learn to pray that way, and to struggle with God, to say, God, you're the king, and I know you love me, and you're my refuge, but man, why is life like this? Why am I struggling in this way? Why is my situation like this? The desires that I have, God, are they not noble desires? And why is life like this? We can pray that way. Questioning God is not always a bad thing. And if you think about it, the psalmist here is not abandoning God, but pursuing him, wrestling with him, laying his heart before him. For whatever reason, lamentation has lost its place in our faith. We don't do it. Maybe we don't even know how to do it. How many of us actually do it? And maybe it's because lamenting feels like we're saying that God is not God, or that our faith is futile. It doesn't feel right. But if we're learning anything from the Psalms, we're learning that lamenting is actually healthy and helpful for our faith. And let's remember that our prayers have a gospel shape to them, that we don't have to have fully sanctified thoughts as we begin to pray, that we can cry out to God with our why questions. We can lay before him our small faith, and we can bring to him our depression. You know, it's better that we come to our Heavenly Father with our why questions and with our depression than not coming to Him at all. Or waiting till our faith gets stronger. And just think about it for those of you who are parents, or just imagine you being a parent and your kid is going through turmoil and your kid feels like he can't talk to you until he gets his stuff together. How would you feel as a parent? You would want them in their turmoil and in their struggle to come to you because you love them. And that's the way it is with God. And yet, for whatever reason, we forget the gospel in our prayer life. We're like, no, these thoughts are not good thoughts. They're not right thoughts. They're not orthodox thoughts. We can come to Him with our struggles and our depression. Depression can feel like hitting a wall in life. And the only way forward is to break through the wall, which is slow grinding work. Depression usually doesn't go away overnight, does it? A lot of times it lingers for a long time. And so we're so easily tempted to walk away from the wall and to give up. So what does it look like to stay at the wall, to break through it? What does that slow grinding work look like? Well, we see it right here. Praying to God, praying with honesty to God, and laying our hearts before God. That's how we break through the wall. That's how we grind and get through it. It's prayer. Now, in addition to the honesty in the psalmist's prayer, there's a petition that is made that we got to make note of. The psalmist says, send out your light and your truth. And so the pathway out of our darkness is found in the truth. That truth will light the way. Truth is what lifts the fog. Now, this is very important. Truth will lead us out of despair and depression because, according to this psalm, it's the truth that leads us to God, our exceeding joy. Now, note that the Bible is not telling the depressed person to seek out joy. The Bible is telling the depressed person to seek out God, and it is in Him that we find our joy. That's very important to see. God is the source of all of our joy. He is the remedy to our depression. I fear I'm sounding too simplistic for you, and yet this is what the Word is saying. God is the remedy to our depression, and His truth leads us to Him. Now, this pathway out of depression, it becomes more clear and more concrete in Jesus. Because when Jesus was doing ministry, what did He say about Himself? He said, I am the light of the world. And He'll go on and He'll say this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except through Me. Is not Jesus the very answer to this petition of send out your light, God. Send out your truth. Isn't it not Jesus? That Jesus is the answer. Now, if we say that the truth that is spoken here is God's word, we would be partly right. But we would do even better to say that the truth that is being spoken here is God's word as it testifies to Jesus. Jesus, He is the light and the truth that leads us to God, our exceeding joy. So, brothers and sisters, as we try to cry out with the psalmist, it might be good to either mentally or even audibly substitute light and truth here with Jesus. Send out Jesus. Let Him lead me. Let Him bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling, to God, my exceeding joy. Send Jesus. And we must see how Jesus can actually speak into the struggles of the psalmist. Can I give you some examples? The psalmist is saying, God, why have you rejected me? And in Christ, what do we hear? God is with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. Those feelings of abandonment, they may exist, but they're not reality. And so that would speak into his heart. Why do I go about mourning? That's what the psalmist is saying. You know what Jesus would say? Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And that in Christ, the God of all comfort, he's with us. He's with us. And he's going to comfort us. And there will be a day where he's going to wipe away every single tear from our eyes. And for the psalmist to ask, why am I oppressed by the enemy? We would hear from Christ that he has triumphed over evil in his death and in his resurrection, that he rules and reigns. The guilty will not go unpunished. God's justice does stand, and it is going to come. And he's going to deal with those enemies. He's going to lift the heaviness of oppression. Jesus is going to do that. And so in Christ, the psalmist would realize, I am saved. I am secure. God is with me. And that the God of the universe is my God. I have hope. I can sing. I can give God praise. Now, is that, you know, those questions and then, you know, the answers in Christ, is that easy? Does that happen instantaneously? No. That can be a process. I don't want to give off the idea that, hey, snap out of it. Here's Jesus. He's the answer. But know this, he is the answer. And sometimes we got to be patient with Jesus. Spend time with him to know him. It is Jesus that leads us to God, our exceeding joy. So here's Jesus, and he leads us to God the Father. But it's important to know also this, that Jesus helps us see the Father. You know, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, I don't want us to just stay at some vague place where it's like, okay, God's our exceeding joy. You got to get there. God's joyous. You go there. You're going to be happy too. But Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You have an idea of what God is like when you see me. And then once you see Jesus, you realize God is the happy place. See Jesus. See the way he loves people. See the way he loved us to the point of death on the cross. See the way that he would weep for people. See the way that he would forgive even the worst of sinners. See the way that he would show mercy to people. See the way that he wouldn't even forget his mother, who's a widow, and that he cared for her and he had concern for her. See the way Jesus would be angry about hypocrisy and injustice. See Jesus. See the way that he would pray for his people. See his beauty and his perfection. And when you see Jesus, you see God. It's beautiful. And that's why God is our exceeding joy. This is who God is. Look at Jesus. This is who God is. Better yet, this is not only who God is. This is your God and my God, our God. When we say my God, that means God's for me. This God who is beautiful and perfect and loving and gracious and full of justice, he's our God. And that's why God is our exceeding joy. What's the chief way out of depression? Chief way? It is seeking Jesus. When you have him, you have all of God. And you have his beauty and his glory and his grace. As mental health awareness grows, and as the world is seeking all kinds of solutions, brothers and sisters, we got to be careful that we're not swept up by everything that is being talked about or taught or encouraged. Because in our culture, I would say, generally speaking, that the pathway out of depression seems to be going inward. So you revisit and you evaluate your childhood trauma, you know, the kind of parents you have, and the patterns and the habits that you've developed over the years. I know I'm making it so brief and general there, maybe not giving my due to how the world speaks of their solutions to depression, but generally it's like going inward. You go inward to yourself, you'll get out of your depression. Now that's not all bad, because even the psalmist goes inward, so I don't want to throw it all out. Because he talks to himself, doesn't he? Why are you downcast, oh my soul? Why so disturbed? Or why so much turmoil within me? So going inward is not all bad. But by and large, the pathway out of our depression, it's actually going outward, not going inward. It's going outward and looking to the light and the truth of Christ, and letting Jesus lead you in to the life of God. And so we need to see that difference. We need to see that difference. So let's be careful that we don't move too quickly past Jesus to other things. Say, okay, Jesus, I know you could do this for me, but okay, here's these other things I need to do. Whenever we're in depression, I'm not saying you can't do these other things. You can't seek counseling. Sometimes medication. Is that helpful? Maybe. But Jesus always needs to be the main thing. My mother-in-law, she's had back pain for some time. And it was kind of a mystery about why she was having these issues. And she was trying all sorts of things. So she did acupuncture. She did oriental medicine, physical therapy. She went to the chiropractor. She got epidural injections in her back, but she was still having all this pain. It was only this week that she got an x-ray and they found out it's her hip and she needs a hip replacement. And it took the doctor like all of 5 seconds to look at the x-ray and say that was the issue. And so this whole time she's doing this, she's doing that, she's doing this other thing, and it was a relief for her to know it's my hip and I need a hip replacement surgery. That's what needs to happen. That's going to deal with her pain. And it's the same way, brothers and sisters, with Jesus. You know, we can do this and that, and it may be helpful here and there, but we have to get to light and truth as it's found in Jesus, and let him lead you to God. I don't want to be overly simplistic about it, because I know it can be a little bit complicated, the things that we're dealing with. But at the same time, let's see where God is leading us in these things. It is to Jesus. And if I can close with this, if you look at the psalm here, what's the opposite picture that he's giving you of his depressed life? What does he long for? Being in God's presence, enjoying him, and giving him praise. I think we need to look at those two things juxtaposed to one another. The opposite of a depressed life is being in God's presence, enjoying him, and singing his praises. I think one of the greatest applications to our depression is that we worship and we keep worshiping. We make it a point to be in God's presence, to consider the riches of Christ, to see his wonder and his beauty, and to sing his praises. And sometimes even when we don't feel like it, that is one of the greatest applications to our depression. So maybe some of you are feeling a certain way today. Maybe you've had a long season. Don't stop worshiping. Here, Sunday, right here, this is a good place to be. Sundays help us out. They anchor our soul and keep us from going far. And so today, I hope that as we together are in God's presence, considering the riches of Christ and singing his praises, that can speak also into your life. Jesus is our light and truth. God is our exceeding joy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that your word is totally not out of touch with reality and our lives. Oh God, how so many of us have moments or even long extended seasons where we struggle just like the psalmist. We're asking why questions, we're despairing, we're so discouraged, life is so gray and dark, and it's hard to hope. And God, thank you that your word meets us where we are. And we pray by your grace, by the power of your Holy Spirit, won't you lead us to the light and truth of Christ. When we come before him, sit at his feet and see him and see all that we have in him, and let it speak into our hearts, oh Lord, that we would have a reason to sing. God, this is work that is supernatural work that takes time as well, and won't you do this? Lord, for those who are struggling, may they not give up. If they feel like they've hit a wall, give them the strength in their weakness to break through, to continue to pray, to hold on to you, to cling to you, and to keep worshiping you. Oh God, thank you that you care and you love us and your mercy is over us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.